Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Chamber Music Tulsa is in the midst of a week-long residency by the Tesla String Quartet, one of New York City's top young prize-winning quartets. Love Letters from Tesla features three free public performances, including one this afternoon at 4:30 at the downtown bus terminal, an open rehearsal Saturday morning at Harwelden, seven free private performances at places like schools, assisted living facilities, and charitable facilities, as well as the culmination, Chamber Music Tulsa's Sunday afternoon concert at the Performing Arts Center. It's a project to bring chamber music to people from all walks of life. And also a part of the project is composer Carter Pan. Tesla will perform his quartet Love Letters on the Sunday concert, and it also lends its name to the overall residency. Tulsa Camerata will also perform his Nicky's Trio this evening at Philbrook Museum in a sold-out concert, and he'll conduct master classes and moderate the open rehearsal on Saturday. Pan's music has been performed around the world and been recorded by the Ying Quartet, the Czech State Philharmonic, clarinetist Richard Stoltzman, and heard on public radio's Performance Today. He joins us today, along with the executive director of Chamber Music Tulsa, Bruce Sorrell, to talk about this interesting residency, which is going on all week long here in Tulsa. Love Letters from Tesla, today on Studio Tulsa. Bruce Sorrell, Carter Pan, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, good morning.
Thanks, Rich.
And this is a very busy week for Chamber Music Tulsa. Bruce, I know when you first came here, when you were first announced as executive director, one of the first things you said you wanted to do was do a big residency that would encompass the whole city of Tulsa. And certainly with this Love Letters from Tesla, that's exactly what you're doing.
Well, and I didn't expect it to happen as quickly as it did. We were very fortunate. I was talking these ideas. I knew my board was very much behind getting chamber music to our community. And, I had a funder, Teresa Collins, at the Albert and Hedy Barthelmess Foundation, who sort of said, well, here, let's try it right now, next season. And that was, of course, a year ago when she said that. And so here we are. And it's been a great week so far, and we've got quite a bit left to go. So.
Yeah, you've already had several public performances from, I guess, one at Woodland Hills, another at the Central Library yesterday.
Yesterday, we had about 80 people show up for that, and the library staff was terrific. They kept setting up more chairs and more chairs as people came, and the Tesla Quartet arrived Monday night, and so then Tuesday morning we did Edison High School and St. Francis Children's Hospital, then Woodland Hills Mall. Then we did a master class with four high school string quartets in the evening. So it's just been kind of like, every day.
Now, I have to ask both of you. I know you just got into town here, Carter, but you guys probably remember the Washington Post article where Joshua Bell set up in a metro station, played, and, people wouldn't notice it, but they just really didn't notice it. Now, when you're out at Woodland Hills, do they know that they're hearing like this world-class chamber group? Or did people stop?
Oh, yeah, people stopped. We have bookmarks that we printed up with the season on it. And, I handed out lots of bookmarks to people, and everybody was like, oh, thank you, because, it had our website on it. And even up, we were down below, and, we'd see people stopping and listening over the top balconies looking down on the second level. And it was a lot of fun. People did notice.
What was the reaction?
Well, generally, they stopped and went, wow. I mean, this is pretty cool. So, we had some people sitting and listening, and some people would stand for, two or three, 4 minutes. Some of them stayed for a lot longer. So it was it was great.
And this is sort of getting the mission of this music out there. That's what this is all about is, I think people have a lot of preconceived notion about what chamber music is about, and it's not them. And I think that's really what a lot of these residencies are all about.
Well, it's taking this gorgeous music out to the community. I remember last year, one of the questions you asked me was about the staid chamber music crowd. And that was before I'd been to any concerts yet here in Tulsa. And that was on a Thursday. And so Saturday night was my first time, and the Moreau Quartet was playing the Dvorak American Quartet. And honestly, before the final chord stopped ringing, this entire room of people were whooping and hollering and on their feet and stamping. And this is an older crowd on the Saturday night, sort of. And I looked around the room and I thought, what was Rich asking me about the stage chamber music crowd? I have come to the right place. This is what chamber music is like in Tulsa. It's been a great year.
Carter, I want to ask you, when you do a residency like this, we think of a composer as being a solitary occupation, except when you're maybe working out the last-minute kinks of a piece. But what's it like to interact with people who probably have never met a composer in their life.
That's marvelous. Yeah. I mean, and that actually, that's not quite so rare. I mean, you know, to meet somebody who's never met a composer. Composers are usually dead, you know, and I mean, to be flippant about it, but that's kind of what the composer is. But as Bruce was saying, you know, in this community, which I'm just meeting for the first time, you swiftly come to realize that, you know, I mean, like the Teslas playing at the mall or library, you know, it's the human connection that, as long as you're playing, you know, wonderful, wonderful, you know, great, great music, you also have a vibrant group of four people there. I swiftly turn into one of those people at the mall or at the concert who, you know, is just kind of riveted by that. I mean, I stop being the solitary composer and I kind of get in it with the whole crowd and, you know, we start whooping at the Dvorak American, of all things. So I love connecting with people who know nothing about, you know, the intricacies of writing or performing music. I mean, you're a performer as well, Rich. And so you meet a lot of people too, go to the concerts. And, you know, it comes down to this. I don't think I could do what I do if I didn't have the human connection with, I mean, you know, composing is solitary, but really just the act of it. Just when I'm doing that. But I mean, I'm surrounded. I have to be surrounded in my head by all of the sort of human experiences. The friends I'm writing for or the people I've seen play marvelously. I mean, that's in my whole bag of composition tricks are my experiences with people, not with going off to some, you know, I love the desert island idea of going off and, you know, writing, you know, Symphony Number 4 over 5 months. But yeah, I can't, it's hard for me to be alone for 5 months, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I think your music has that sense of really trying to connect with audiences. I mean, you can certainly hear a lot of influences, but I think it's influences from everything. I hear a little pop music as well as everything from minimalism to everything else that's going on today.
And that's, you're hearing it. And that's what in that music is, tells you a little bit that I like to, so I'm a collector a little bit. So I like, if there's a music I grew up with loving, and it could be pop music, it could be anything from Paul Simon up to a current, you know, like band or whatever. It's hard for me to neglect it. In what I'm doing. I mean, you know, sometimes it's not conscious, but it'll work itself into, say, the string quartet that they're playing.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because when I talk to ballet choreographers today, mm-hmm. it's like I'm listening to everything from Vivaldi to, you know, last week's free download from iTunes. And they're listening to everything. And I think composers today are doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's difficult to isolate yourself today. I mean, you get a lot of, all you need to do is drive in a car or turn on a TV or boot up your computer, and you're getting, even through YouTube, you're getting what's happening. You're
this
getting
constant
all the
soundtrack.
Sound. Yeah, it's soundtracks sort of your life. And,
you know. Can I ask too, is that a more American phenomenon, do you think, for American composers? It obviously seems like it should be true for other places in the mm-hmm. world, but I'm wondering if that tends to be a more American phenomenon. I'm just curious.
I think it is myself, because when I hear European composers, it seems like it's a little more on the abstract side today. I mean, and there's probably, there's exception to every rule, but, mm-hmm. and I think maybe that's because it's all state supported. You know, still a lot of that is state supported maybe. And in America, it's about living by your wits as a composer.
Oh, but that could play a little bit into it. Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, you're trying to connect or you're trying to sort of make a living at it. And in America, it's much different from sort of in Europe. You know, there's a sense also, I mean, the high art composition that's coming out of Europe is just that. I mean, you can find exceptions, but it's also very much like sort of high art sort of in a painting way or in a sculpture. It's sculpture, sound sculpture, or science. It's also a very scientific endeavor for some of those composers that are sort of in a laboratory setting.
And it's almost like classical music was in the 50s and 60s, where it was really academy-based. Mm. You know, I mean, and when I say the academy, I mean universities. I mean, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you have outfits in France, and the conservatories of France or Darmstadt still exists, and ERCOM, and these music labs. I mean, we have a few of them here, I mean, in the States, but you are inundated. We were just talking about that soundtrack of our lives. You're inundated in America, and I think the art, the music that's being created here is like a melting pot of musics. So, Bruce, I think it is different.
And I should say that yesterday they the quartet at the library played a couple of movements of Love Letters, and the audience really enjoyed it. I mean, and you can tell because there was extended applause after they played that. And I thought that was really wonderful and remarkable that we have Carter coming this week and already people connecting with the music and that public performance.
You know, I think that's one of the things that's changed about contemporary music is that about 30, 40 years ago, it really wasn't written with the average person in mind, you know, maybe, maybe it was like there was an ideal involved. Uh-huh. And today it's written with average people in the mind. And it makes sense that a new work would be so cool because it's of your time. It should be received better than Beethoven or Brahms because it's, you know, of your time.
It's funny. I want to make clear that the composing of this music or, you know, some of my contemporary, it's not by design made for, like you were saying, sort of the average, perhaps non-musician in mind. It's just that what's coming out of somebody like me is just from the core that way. It's not, you know, this is how I grew up. This is the culture I grew up in. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, if I was like, you know, in my composition heyday in 1958 or 1965, let's say, it'd be very different. Even if I had the audience in mind, which was very rare back then, to have the audience in mind, you know,
it was about doing something completely new.
Yeah. And there was a barrier there, and we've broken through it. We broke through it. Classical musicians, it's, you know, I have a whole diet, you know, a whole lecture on what I believe is classical music today. And I think it's not what I'm doing, but I'm lucky today.
My guests today are Carter Pan, composer, who is a part of the Love Letters from Tesla week-long residency of Chamber Music Tulsa. Bruce Sorrell, the executive director of Chamber Music Tulsa, is my other guest. We're talking about this week-long residency with the Tesla Quartet, which involves 3 free public performances, of which there will be one this afternoon at 4:30 at the downtown bus terminal.
Yes.
With Tesla. There's been another 7 private free performances, and everything from, as you mentioned, Edison High School. I think you're going to a couple of retirement homes. You've had the St. Francis Children's Hospital.
Boys Home we're going to in the morning, which is great.
Yeah,
so.
And then 3 ticketed public performances, and including one of those is tonight with the Tulsa Camerata, which you are partnering with, and Carter Pan, they'll be performing Nikki's Trio. Before we talk a little bit about that, let's talk a little bit about the Sunday wrap-up to this, and big concert, which will feature Love Letters, which has been sort of the title for this whole week. What was the inspiration for Love Letters, Carter?
Love Letters was written, I think, back in 2000, and it was a quartet written for actually another quartet that I think the Teslas are familiar with. I'm sure they know each other, the Ying Quartet. And they are the quartet I knew at Eastman when I was there doing an undergrad in composition. And so this piece was written sort of on my sleeve more than anything else that had come before that. And it's my first string quartet, and I took models of, you know, great, great, great quartet. I went kind of all out for it. And it is about what a mid-20s, going up through school musician can go through. And it was really just about ending a very long-term, for me at the time, relationship with a violinist, with a really good friend, and then we struck up a relationship, and so that ended. And I really did seriously throw myself into writing this piece, which came out in less than 2 months, and it was just a white hot burst of. That was the inspiration for this. That event in my life was what threw me into writing this piece. It was very 25-year-old piece or 28-year-old, you know, kind of drama, and I'll tell you this, I should say right off the bat, they're intimate letters as a string quartet that the Camerata is going to play tonight. Mm-hmm. And I've heard my piece, Love Letters, on concerts with intimate letters because there have been in the past love-themed concerts for the.
Is that Janáček?
That's Janáček, sorry. Janáček, the great quartet. And I had no idea of, I was unaware of this piece when I was writing this Love Letter. So it wasn't let's look for the love quartets and use those as models. It was really just, oh my gosh, now I find myself on concerts with Janáček. It's very interesting. And on Valentine's Day, and I think it's perfect.
Well, now, the way you describe it, it's almost like, you know, this was just this emotion coming out. Now, 10 years later, you know, does it still satisfy you? I mean, I'm just wondering if you're a composer that says, oh, I really wish I could, you know, fix that or not. Or, you know, or do you just write them and then, okay, they're out there?
Well, you know, sometimes I go back and change things or whatever. But, the, you know, this piece was really special in my what I was writing. I mean, you know, for that time of my career, that was really, really – it was a main stop on my subway system. You know, that's how I sort of think of it. You know, there are main stops and intermediary stops on, like, you know, the Manhattan subway system. This is a big one. And so it's hard for me to go back to where I was doing in 2000 and change this. This is sort of a snapshot for me of what it was. But, and the way it holds up for me is if it's a – there are parts of it that I would love to change. But if the music, devoid of the subject matter, is stands on its own – that's where, you know, that's how it can live with me and hopefully live with audiences. And Tesla's now a play, you know, hopefully other quartets will continue to play this piece, you know, hopefully. It's the music at this point.
Yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit of the second movement, the opening of the second movement. This is the Ying Quartet from their recording. And here's music by our guest today, Carter Pan. That's just a taste of Love Letters, written by my guest today, Carter Pan. Bruce Sorrell is the executive director of the Chamber Music Tulsa. And as we were just chatting during that music selection, you said, you know, this was written at the same age Tesla is today,
That's
right?
That's correct. These guys are in their late 20s. And so I think it's terrific because they're coming to this music from that same understanding spot. And it really struck me when you were talking about the fact that you were, you know, you were 28 or whenever when you wrote that. And it will have that intimacy, I think, with them because it connects with them at the point where they are in their lives as well. So,
well, we're looking forward to hearing that this Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And this will be the culmination of a lot of performances over the next few days.
Yes, by that's right. The Sunday afternoon performance at the Williams Theater in the Performing Arts Center. And also in that program, they're playing the Debussy String Quartet, the Mozart K575, the Prussian String Quartet, and the Six Bagatelles by Webern. That's right, isn't it? Correct?
Yeah.
Bagatelles.
Yeah.
So it's a great program. And Carter will be actually doing the pre-concert talk, which will begin at 2:15. So if you're interested in learning more about the music on the program, and especially from his perspective, not just Love Letters, but but the other works on the program, from a living composer's perspective.
And you're also offering some great educational opportunities with this public rehearsal Saturday morning, which I guess you're going to moderate, Carter. Mm-hmm. You wanted to offer people a chance to see how a string quartet works up music.
Well, that's absolutely the case. Have you done this kind of project before, or is this? I know we've had other quartets talk about the idea of doing a very open rehearsal, and so we thought, well, here we've got the composer and the work and the quartet, and it's like it'd be a great chance for them to sort of share with the public what it's like putting together.
Yeah. I've done this only a couple times. And normally with larger groups on stage where it's an open rehearsal, but like with an intimate sort of quartet like this, and I know the Teslas are going to be just $1 million with this kind of thing, they're into it. And letting me moderate it or, you know, it's going to be special for me. That's going to be good.
So are they going to actually be playing Love Letters, or will they maybe be rehearsing another work?
Well, I imagine they'll want me to, you know, sort of hone in on Love Letters. And I've worked on that with them before. Mm-hmm. But what they're playing, the Mozart Dissonant, is it? The Dissonant
Quartet?
No,
actually, that was what they were wanting to play because they switched because they're hoping to go to a competition this spring and they needed to take this other quartet.
Got it.
So they contacted us and said, could we switch out Mozart quartets? So they're actually playing the Prussian.
Mm-hmm.
which is, you know, great. Yeah. We're very happy with either one of those choices. So. Uh-huh.
Now, earlier I mentioned the partnership with Tulsa Camerata, which is really nice because it's like Chamber Music Tulsa brings in great chamber music groups, and this young Camerata group is really trying to establish a permanent local residency, and they'll be doing a piece, Nikki's Trio, and that's really worked out well for this residency.
Oh, yes, it's been great. They've been great to work with, and then TU is another sort of partner with this because Carter is going to be out here all day tomorrow working with composition students, meeting with various music classes. There's going to be a live stream of a composition workshop tomorrow afternoon. So we've really had not just Camerata, but the music department here at TU as well. And so, yeah, we've been really thrilled with the all the collaborations that have happened across the city this week.
Do you feel like you're getting some excitement about chamber music from what's happened already and what you hope will happen during the rest of this week?
Yes, the quartet has been amazed at, in fact, so have we in some ways, because we've really worked hard at getting the word out, and the PR seems to really be working.
And I have to tell you, that is the big difference, because Chamber Music Tulsa has done a few other of these sort of residency projects, but you know, in the past, the word wasn't effectively spread, I guess is probably the best way to put it.
Yes, we coordinated PR this time with Heather Berryhill, and she's done a terrific job for us and really helped fill the hole for us in the expertise of getting the word out. And so I know that the quartet was impressed, because like even when they got in the elevator at the hotel after they got here Monday night, and somebody said, "Oh, are you the Tesla?" And so I was like, "Oh, yes."
That's rare.
And you just have to understand how rare that is. Yeah, even for the greatest musicians, you can be on an elevator where nobody knows who you are.
I know. So, yeah. So anyway, they've been really excited. We've been excited. Because we're really, you know, there's a board of 26, 27 people who are passionate about chamber music and bringing it to the community and bringing the best from around the world to Tulsa. And here we are with really putting some rubber to what we've been talking about. And it's been a very exciting experience. And of course, you know, next season is our 60th season. So there have been many times I've heard people say, well, you know, Chamber Music Tulsa is one of Tulsa's best kept secrets. And we're trying to change that a little bit.
Right. Carter, let me ask you about the piece that will be Tulsa Camerata's playing tonight, Nikki's Trio. How did that come about?
Nikki's Trio, yeah. That piece was written after Love Letters. I think it came a couple years later. And that was a complete reaction to my sister giving birth to her first child. She has three boys. I have three nephews. Mm-hmm. I'm not a father, but but when I'm with my three nephews, I get to play I get to act like a father. So this was, and his name is Nikki. This is a big piece for piano trio, four movements. I think the movements are called Cowboys, American Child, sort of a big Brahmsian movement, and then a little movement called Mobile, like a mobile over a crib, and then the last movement's The Little Devil, and it's and that's a real finale, sort of a kind of a mean kind of real finale. And so yeah, and the Camerata is just doing a bang up job on this. I mean, it's a big piece. And I can't wait to hear it tonight in performance. I went for a rehearsal yesterday. And what's great about it is that, what's great about this, you're talking about how Camerata is happening at the same time that Tulsa Chamber Music, or Tulsa Chamber. Mm-hmm. And I know two of the people in the Camerata who are playing this, I've known them for quite a long time. And so they're friends that all of this has come together, and I get to meet new people, make new friends, and then see my old friends.
And that's an active chamber musician will tell you all the time. It is such a small world that they know each other.
Oh, well, the world's opening up, though. I mean, you know, in the elevators around Tulsa, people are talking. You know, it's getting bigger.
Well, we wish you great success with those. You're going to do this residency with composition students. I just have to ask you, what made you decide to be a composer? What was in your DNA that said, you know, this is the way I'm going to express myself, not playing an instrument or singing or doing, but I'm gonna write music.
You know, I'm a pianist, and I still perform quite a bit, and I have to keep doing that. And so it really comes from the connection to the instrument and playing in chamber music. playing with other folks and being actively, you know, making music. And so I did that. I started very young in that and listened to a lot of classical music, did a lot of, you know, my hands on the piano, got to a certain stage, I was seriously 15, 16, where I thought that's where I was going to go into. And so it was through the piano that that I got into composition. I was also a little budding artist. And when you're writing music, there was a very tactile relationship to that. But I switched to composition because I didn't want to practice I was practicing 8-9 hours, you know, like the drummer in the basement that is bothering me. I did a lot of that and I wanted a little bit more tactile, intimate relationship to music, and it came to composition. Mm. It's a weird little way or reason, but it's very true.
Yeah. What's the biggest piece of advice you can get to somebody who's maybe thinking about being a composer or making composition a big part of their life? What do you think?
Well, you know, it was different for me, but today I would say if you're, let's say, in your late teens going up and you're considering it, you really should probably only go into composition if you have an almost obsessive love for it. It's not anything in this day and age that you're going to, you know, make it huge by 23 unless you're...
You'll be lucky if you pay the rent.
Rock, what's that?
You'll be lucky if you pay the rent.
Yeah. You just have to stick with it. And like we said, there's a soundtrack to our lives. There's a lot of data, a lot of gaming, a lot of... I mean, we have entertainment galore. Mm-hmm. We're entertaining ourselves all the time. Composition, you have to hide away and just be very confident in what you're thinking and not what you're being told to think or what to do. You just have to go for it and be convinced that you... And then keep hitting your head against that wall and just, you know, it takes a long time. It took a long time. Today, I can't imagine.
Well, we wish you great success with the piece this weekend. And what are you working on these days? Yeah. I mean, do you have a piece sort of in the oven, so to speak?
Yeah. A few pieces in the oven. I got to keep them in. I got to keep writing. Doing a three-movement work called The Three Embraces for a large wind ensemble. And then a double concerto for two pianos and orchestra, which I'm really excited about, which is a little off in the future, and then a sax quartet before that I cannot wait to write for the Capitol Sax Quartet.
All right. Well, we wish you great success. Cool. And Bruce, this residency sounds like it's going great, and we're going to see more of these in the future, it sounds like.
Well, that's the intent, yes. Mm-hmm. Certainly so. And we've got some great music still to come in the season after this week fades. Quartetto di Cremona is coming in from Italy in March, and I love their recordings. They're a really terrific group, and we are going to be their first American appearance.
That's
so
great.
First time to play in the States. It'll be really fun, and then they're heading from here to New York City to play a private event at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. So we're
Tulsa
really excited.
First.
Tulsa is going
to
be their first American appearance. And then... in April, the Griffin Trio will be here, piano trio, piano, violin, and cello. And that weekend as well, we're having a singer come in to do a cabaret performance that joins them. We saw that in New York City a year ago. We probably even talked about it on our show last year. But so that's that particular cabaret performance we're going to call Late Night with CMT, and it's going to be at 8:30 downtown at the Mayo Hotel in the lobby. And it'll be great. You know, songs of Elvis Costello and French and Spanish sort of folk songs and Latin America.
Great.
It's going to be really fun.
So, it sounds great. Yeah.
We keep looking for ways to engage people with this great music in our community.
All right. Well, there are ample opportunities this week. Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Composer Carter Pan and Bruce Sorrell, the Executive Director of Chamber Music Tulsa, talking about Love Letters from Tesla, a week-long residency which will culminate with the Sunday afternoon concert at the Performing Arts Center by the Tesla String Quartet, featuring the music of Carter Pan. For more information about the residency, visit chambermusictulsa.org. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. We're going to leave you with more music by Carter Pan. This is from his Grammy-nominated composition, his piano concerto. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.